Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3 once again. I have some good news for you. We're getting close to kind of the end of this idea of studying church membership. And the culmination is going to be, as we get there, going through the what's called levels of leadership in this local church, and just what's expected of our different types of folks that want to serve and work here in the local church, as far as nursery, children's church, Sunday school, choir, you know, ushering, all those kinds of things. We're just going to go through, you know, what things are expected and what things are required and all that stuff, so that we all can serve the Lord as we grow in Christ and as we develop as Christians. You know, it's probably not the best idea to take a baby Christian or somebody that's just new into the local church and have them teach a Sunday school class. That's probably not wise, you know, but as someone grows and matures and has a desire and a want to serve, you know, that's probably something that can take place over time. And so those things are all things we're going to talk about and we're leading up to. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, just a couple verses here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul said, and I, of course, made reference to this morning, beginning in verse 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." So as we've studied, we've gone through our constitution and bylaws of our local church, and we've gone through some of the deep details of them as far as church membership, the doctrines, and even last week, church officers, duties of officers, etc. We went through those things. And the next couple of pages are really more organizational types, so I'm going to just briefly mention them. One of them is talking, that's important to mention, of course they're all important to mention, but is the idea of what a church is here for. You know, I mean, some people say, well, why should I come to church? Well, because it's what God said we should do. Okay? The local church is God's vehicle for this age and time. You understand? This is known as the church age. Everybody heard that term before? Okay? And so this is what God has chosen. By the way, Jesus started the church. Everybody, we can put that to bed, right? It did not start in Acts. It was already started. Jesus Christ called out the first 12 members. Okay? So this was Christ doing. He started the church. It's a called out assembly. And that's what the church is here for. So the church is here to meet for worship. Unless otherwise determined by the pastor, the church shall meet each Sunday for public worship, both morning and evening. It shall also meet at least once a week, usually on Wednesday, for preaching and prayer. Okay, so, by the way, is that what we do here? Yes, it is. See? We're following the rules. That's good. By the way, does it matter if we met on Tuesday? Could we meet on Tuesday? Yeah. Monday? Sure. I remember I was just reminiscing this past month, I guess you could call it. How many of you have gone through the process of transferring your VHS tapes to digital files? Have you gone through that process? Okay. Well, you haven't. It's a great process. Because how many of you have watched your VHS tapes in like the last 10 years? You have. You are rare people. Okay. Because I don't think I've seen some of these tapes since they were recorded, I think. But you know, the home videos, you know, whatever. Even our wedding, the kids had never seen our wedding video. And they were transferring it over, and I think Oliver was kind of heading it up. There were some others that saw parts of it or whatever. He's over there laughing his head off, you know, just think how silly and how funny this all is. But, huh? It was hilarious? Okay, yeah. So, anyways, you know, this whole thing. But I had some videos of me in Sicily in the Navy after I had been called to preach in the preacher boys class, preaching, you know, some sermons and things. And I was just thinking about my pastor and those things of old. But, you know, I remember thinking,
When I got involved in the right kind of church and I realized how valuable church was to me, I told the pastor with these very words, I said, "Pastor, why can't we have church every night?" I did. I asked him that. And I don't remember what he said. I don't know if he said it wasn't possible or whatever, or I don't know. I don't remember even what he said. But I just remember asking him that because I had this hunger and this desire. I wanted to be here every day. And guess what? Now I get to be here every day. So, and by the way, I'm happy to be here every day. I like that. And so, but this is what the bylaws say. This is what we're supposed to, we're here to, this is what we do. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you know, those types of things. In the bylaws, we're supposed to be observing the Lord's Supper. We observe the Lord's Supper unless circumstances forbid it. Each fifth Sunday of every month that has a fifth Sunday. And then I like the little paragraph that says, this is at the pastor's discretion. Okay, so you know that in the Bible it tells us to do this in remembrance, right? As oft as you do it, right? So it doesn't give a parameter. It doesn't say, you know, every fifth Sunday or every fifth Wednesday. It's just up to the local church to decide. By the way, I know churches that do it on different things and different special events or whatever. They just kind of wing it and make their own schedule. All of those are applicable. They're just fine. And that's why that little term there is at the pastor's discretion. That's just fine. The folks that put this in as the church was instituted, they just chose, hey, fifth Sunday, that's what we're going to do it. So that's what we do. On the fifth Sunday, we have the Lord's Supper and the evening service, and that's what we're going to hold. That's part of the meetings here at our church. There are administrative type meetings as needed. They can be performed before, during, or after a regular service. The pastor sets a date for the election of church officers. There's an annual business meeting, those types of things for the adoption of church budget and other church business and as the pastor directs. So these things are in our bylaws. So those are part of the meetings. And there's some business, organizational, administrative things that we do. But that's part of what a church body is. By the way, is it good or bad to be organized? Good, okay? And so I think it's a good thing that these things are in here. There's also a clause in here for special meetings. There can be Bible conferences, revivals, missions conferences, special meetings to be held as the pastor believes will be beneficial to the church, and the pastor will arrange for any special guest speakers or things like that. And these things can be scheduled. By the way, from time to time we'll have things like this in our church schedule, and those are also part of the meetings here at our church. As far as the meetings go, this place has a purpose, is to meet together. We are a called out assembly to meet together here in this place, and we ought to want to be here for that. The Bible tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, right? And so this is what this building is for, to assemble together. And so you understand that assembling together is a great thing for the local church. Now, all of you will probably remember not too long ago that Christianity, if you will, and other things, of course, were attacked by something called COVID. Right? And you know what? I'm okay. I mean, there's people, hello people, watching online. I'm for technology and for the ability. I know there's circumstances. Sometimes people can't make it. But the primary vocation and the reason why this church exists is so you can come here to meet together. Yeah. Because, you know, it can become kind of an easy thing to just stay home. But you know what? I know that the folks watching, they are not able to come. So I'm glad that they have an opportunity to catch the service, even though they cannot be here. But we, for the most part, we ought to always want to be here. Just come and be here, be a part, whenever you can, as often as you can. That's what our church is here for. And that's part about being a good member of a local church. Now, another thing that our church does is support missionaries. Missions work is important. By the way, where are we supposed to be involved, this local church, where is this local church supposed to be involved in the work of missions? Can anyone give me a little bit of an idea? Yes, giving. But how about Acts 1:8, right? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So we're supposed to be involved with it here. By the way, is soul winning kind of missions work? Yes, it is. All right. Is there missions work in North Texas? Yes. In the state of Texas? Yes. In the United States? Yes. Canada, Mexico, right? So you can see how Christ set up things for his church. He said, look, Jerusalem, yes, but then go to Judea, go to Samaria, go to the uttermost part of the earth. And listen, we're able to do that. We ought to be ministering and doing missions work everywhere we go. We do have outreach ministries, like our bus ministry, like we have soul winning. We have opportunities to minister to people outside of the meetings of this church. But we also, yes, in giving and praying and even going to missions. You can go on a missions trip. You can. All right. Now, it's going to cost you, but that's all right. Right. And something you can do. We have a missions trip scheduled for our local church to go. And listen, I want as many of you to go as possibly can. And if you can't, that's okay. Maybe you say, Pastor, I'd like to go on a mission trip, but I can't go during this time. I'd like to go, you know, just go look back here and pick one. And I'll try to set it up for you. Okay, I can even ask. I do know that the Lundys, they direct the missions down for BIMI. Down in South America, they have several missions trips already planned. They're already outlined. They're already scheduled. They're already set up. All you have to do is pay a certain amount of money and you can go. It's great. They're going and doing missions work in the jungles and in Peru and Brazil and Argentina and all over the place in South America. They have all kinds of things. You can just, you know, register, complete the paperwork, have everything, you know, get the money, pay them, and go. It's called Amazon Connect, I think is what it's called. But they have things and other people have things and things that you can do. But we're to be involved in missions. And this is what our articles say about missions. It's the policy of our church to support only missionaries who are actively engaged in evangelization and establishing New Testament Baptist churches. They shall be in hearty agreement with our articles of faith, both in doctrine and practice. So guess what that means? That means we're of like belief, right? We're like faith. We believe things the same. That's the kind of people we want to, if you will, be in business with. Because guess what? I mean, whether you like it or not, guess what the idea of winning the world for Christ is? It's our business. Okay? It's not a business. It's our business. It's the vocation of the church to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ across this world. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, okay? So that's what we want to accomplish with our meetings for worship, our special meetings, all the different things, the missions work across the world. We want to accomplish the vocation of the local church. Over in 2 Corinthians, Paul was speaking to the people there in Corinth, and he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because thus we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, then that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them,
and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Folks, we represent something far greater than ourselves. Just like an ambassador represents his or her country, we get to represent our Savior. And if you will, our true country, heaven. And who rules in heaven? God, right? And the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so we understand that that's to be true. And so we see that we're ambassadors for Christ. He says, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, ye be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So, I hope you understand that as we look at tonight, these things, we have a vocation. Now, with that said, I want to talk to you just about the rest of this stuff. Section 5 is about the fiscal year of our church. From January 1st through the 31st, that's the fiscal year, so that's just like financial business terms and things like that. It talks about this. One of the questions, I'm going to get back to the church member, the vocation stuff in just a minute. But one of the things that I was always asked, how many of you knew that I was a Christian school principal for 16 years? Okay? Yes. So guess what the number one question was when I came here to Lighthouse Baptist Church? Are you going to start a school? I'm like, not unless God tells me to. Okay? And I'm glad that the church bylaws address this very question. It says this: should the church decide to establish a Christian school or schools, appropriate rules and bylaws shall be decided upon and added to this constitution under the direct supervision of the pastor. So, if God leads us to start one, we'll start one, okay? But until he does, no. All right? I like having homeschool days. That's a lot more fun. Okay? And so that's great. It talks about unauthorized expenditures. In other words, expenditures in excess of $200 not authorized by the regular budget must be authorized by the pastor or board of deacons if the office of pastor is vacant. So that's something in our bylaws. So that's just a business thing there. Then it talks about ordination qualifications, which is very important, and we'll talk about that another time. It talks about tax-exempt provisions. Things like private, I don't even know that word, inurement. Is that, did I say that right? Inurement. I don't know, whatever that is. It's something legal. Political involvement, dissolution, and which I don't plan on doing. And then racial non-discrimination, all of those things about ethnicity, etc., which, of course, we're not discriminate against any of those things. So, red and yellow, black and white, right? They are precious in his sight. This is, Jesus loves the little children of the world and the big children too. And then designated contributions talks about that, and then amendments and adoption and all this stuff. So those are the things that are in our church articles and bylaws or constitution. And of course, I went through those rather quickly, but those things, of course, every member, either if you don't have a copy, you can have a copy of that. We want you to have that kind of thing. So now as we get back to the vocation of the local church and what we ought to be doing as members, I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And as we continue to study church membership and the value of it and the reason for it and why we should be a part of it or involved in it, because the local church is important to God. Okay? So important that he tells us a whole lot about it in the New Testament. All right? And by the way, this is what God has chosen. So we want to be the best this that we can be. You say, what makes independent Baptist churches different from other churches? This is our guide to what we're supposed to be as a church. Okay? Not what some council thinks. And by the way, this is not something new, if you will. This has been passed on from what Christ started to the church of Jerusalem, and as it spread around the world, the example is the scriptures of how we're supposed to govern ourselves, the things that we're supposed to do, the things that we're not supposed to do, the things that we're supposed to be, the things we're not supposed to be, etc., 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 etc. It all ought to be founded on scripture. So many religions and so many quote unquote churches don't line up with what the Bible says a church is supposed to be and what a church is supposed to do. And that's what we need to line up with the Bible. So if you're there in Ephesians, look at chapter 4 and look at verse 11. Look what he says. And this is what Paul says. He says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So why are these different offices, if you will? Why did God institute these things for the local church? Look what it says. For the perfecting of the saints. That's good, right? Don't we need to be perfected? Don't we need to be worked on? Don't we need Christ to grow and to, you know, knock off the rough edges and shape us and mold us into what we ought to be as the potter, right? We're on the potter's wheel. He's forming us and shaping us into what we ought to be. And it's for the perfecting of the saints. It's also, look at this, for the work of the ministry. Hey, can I tell you something? Being a church member is a work. Now, we've already talked about this in our thing of studying. It's not just a physical labor. Listen, serving in the nursery, wonderful thing. Serving in the bus ministry, wonderful thing. Children's church, usher, serving in the choir, playing an instrument. You know, all the different things that we have here at our local church to do, right? All wonderful, if you will, physical work. But don't forget about the intellectual work. The work of the ministry. It's not just physical, it's also intellectual, mental. Yeah, that's right. And so we've got to realize that the work of the ministry is why we have pastors and teachers and, if you will, people in the local church that make the local church work. It's the body of Christ and ought to be a fully functioning, healthy body. Look at the next part. For the edifying of the body of Christ, right? So when you think of something that's edified, it's something that's what? Happy, healthy, right? And by the way, a church should be happy and healthy. A church shouldn't be, you know, worn down, beaten down. We got to go to church again. Oh boy, I hope nobody says that here. I mean, I hope that you love coming to church, that the church is great. We had a privilege of having some bus kids today, and I talked to mom as we dropped the kids off, and she asked the kids, how was church today? And they said, it was great. And she goes, well, I guess we'll see you next week. And I had the privilege of telling her that her boys were good, and she's looking at me, she's like, my boys? I'm like, yeah, they were wonderful. She's like, well, it's the first time for everything, you know. I'm like, praise God. I mean, no, they were. They were very good. And it was a great opportunity and experience. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ. Folks, we should be edified here. We should feel, if you will, and by the way, I hate that. I gotta delete that phrase from my vocabulary. We've got to realize that edification isn't always, you know, happy, happy, happy all the time. Okay, sometimes it's getting our toes stepped on. Sometimes it's getting right with God. That's edifying too. Okay, and so the word edify is a very broad spectrum of emotions. It's not always just happiness, if you will, or a smile on your face. But you ought to be happy about getting right with God. I mean, that should make you happy. But it's basically, in essence, talking about something being full or something being healthy or something being abundant. And that's what a church is supposed to be. So as we think about the work of the church, the unity of the faith is the next one, and the knowledge of the Son of God. And then he says, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Boy, that's a great definition of what a local church should be. And if you will, what the work of the church is. Folks, we ought to be full. Full of Christ. And as people look at us, they should see Jesus in a literal sense. When the Christians were called that first in Antioch, that's what the people in Antioch saw. Christ. They saw little Christs. They said, these people are just carbon copies of Jesus. And that's what that's what it means to be full. Be in the measure of the fullness of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
We look like Christ. We act like Christ. We talk like Christ. We live like Christ. We might as well be Christ. Now, don't say that blasphemously. You understand that. But that's what it should be. Are we not supposed to become Him? Yeah. That's what we ought to want to be. Is our, like our Savior, so that nobody can tell the difference. By the way, if they can tell the difference, then you're not there yet, right? Exactly. So then he says this, that, I love the word that, there's a colon there, and it says that, we henceforth be no more children. Tossed to and fro, he says. And carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So there's Christ again, right? And so the rest of that chapter talks about this. It says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Okay, I couldn't explain things any better than what Paul did about that's how the local church is supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to feel. That's how it's supposed to act and behave and all these things, all of that. So, with that said, the local church is to provide stability for the people in the church. Folks, you should know where we stand on things. There should be no question. There's just stability. There's a firm foundation. Ta-da! Firm foundation. All right? And by the way, it doesn't matter what I think about the Bible. It matters what the Bible says. That's what matters. All right? It doesn't matter how I feel about it. Well, you know, I don't think God should have. Careful. Because guess what? He did, and he doesn't care if you think he should have or not. All right? Because God gets to be God. We don't get to be God. So God says, this is how I want you to behave. Well, I don't think we have to be so strict about that. Again, why does it matter what you think? If God says do it this way, then guess what? We probably should do it that way. And so these things are important. And there should be stability in all things. Paul told Timothy, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul was a Bible preacher, folks. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew the scriptures. And by the way, he didn't just know the letter of the law. He knew the spirit of the law. He understood why Christ wanted these things this way for the local church. He had the best Bible college professor a person could have. Jesus. In the wilderness. Listen, Paul received a PhD very quickly. And he was a great example of this to all that he came into contact with. A church should teach and preach and live sound doctrine. We've already talked about that. We ought to make sure that we're keeping people from being deceived by hypocrisy and subtlety. And as it says here in Ephesians, this cunning craftiness. There are people trying to say, oh, that's not important anymore. It is important. Oh, you know, you old-fashioned Baptists are outdated. Catch up with the times. The world is changing. We know. We're not as dumb as you think we are. There's no reason to change. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? And guess what? It ain't broke. That's good English, by the way. Not only should a church provide stability, but it should take a stand against error and compromise. Remember what Jude said. He said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was need for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It's a fight, folks. It's a spiritual warfare. What did Paul say in Ephesians? We're supposed to put on the
That we may what? Stand, right? And it's a battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, right? All of that stuff. And then he says, not only to stand, but to withstand in the evil day. And he says, and having done all to withstand, right? So you understand that this is something we're supposed to stand against error and compromise, because it's God's rules, God's law, God's word. Why should we say, oh, you know what? That doesn't really matter. It does really matter. And that's how we all need to view it. And then it's also supposed to satisfy our head, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I just give you a news flash? The church is not here to satisfy you. And it's not here to satisfy me. The church is not here to make you feel good or me feel good. The church is not here to please you or to please me. The church is here to satisfy our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's here to worship Him. It's here to praise Him. It's here to fulfill Him. It's all about Him. It's not about you and me. And the less it's about you and me and the more it's about Him, the better the church is going to be. And that's how it needs to be for us. So we need to understand that we need to join our hearts in unity, to join our hands in accomplishing the vocation of Christ. Jesus said, I must work the work of Him that sent me. So why shouldn't we? We should be here to work the work of Him that sent us. And you understand that He's called us into light. We've accepted Christ. So guess what? We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We have a vocation that we should work this way. We talked about that this morning in Ephesians. Remember that? We're His workmanship that we should walk in them. So not only do we have the local church in stability and in taking a stand and satisfying Christ, but we also have the work of the church through volunteers. You realize that a church doesn't get the privilege of paying everybody. I wish we could do that. That'd be cool. Okay? But we're supposed to volunteer our services to our Lord. So we understand that there are principles. We talked about this when we talked about the pastor, etc., and the office of the pastor and all those things. And we talked about the compensation that a pastor receives. By the way, that's not made up by Baptists. Paul talks about it. Peter talks about it. The church, it's set forth in the scriptures. But I want you to understand that the most of the work is accomplished through the participation of volunteers, of servants of Christ. That's how it should be. Because should the pastor have to do everything around here? Let me rephrase that. Can the pastor do everything around here? I can't. I can't be watching the kids in the nursery and preaching to you. Okay, that'd be physically impossible. It'd also be complete insanity. All right? And we just can't have that. All right? So can the pastor teach all the Sunday school classes? I guess we could just have one group Sunday school class and we'll just call it Sunday school instead of calling it church. But would that be most effective? Probably not. Okay? Now, so you understand that there's all different kinds of things. And basically, we are limited by our physical being. I just physically can't do everything, nor should I have to. We all get to have a part. Now, somebody has to organize. Guess where that falls? Hello, right? That's important. And delegate. Delegating is good. That's not something easy for me to do. All right? But I have to do it, right? And I have to try to be good at that, in those types of things. That's why we have things like rules, procedures, a plan, levels of leadership, these types of things. We're getting to all that as we learn and grow as a church. But we've got to have the same mind. We've got to be like-minded in the mission of the local church. Guess what that is? Winning people to Christ.
discipling people in Christ, right? So that they can bear fruit for Christ. There's an outline for you. Preach that, Brother Frankie. Where you at? Right? Amen? Brother Michael? Good outline, isn't it? Hey, listen, that's what we're supposed to do. And we accomplish that through the Sunday school ministry, through children's church ministry, through a track club and King's Kids ministries, through the different Sunday school classes, through the different conferences and camps and things like that. We're trying to grow people to be like-minded, and that like-mindedness is the mind of Christ. How can two walk together except they be agreed? You know what? I'll repeat this again. We don't have to like everybody. We do need to love everybody. That's important. But we also need to come to some sort of agreement. We can conflict in our personalities. That's just going to be a natural part of working with people. Right? Not everybody is going to get along. But that's okay. Because we have something to get along in. And that's the Word of God. And guess what? We can overlook a multitude of things. Because we're not serving them, we're serving Christ. Yeah. And that's the wonder of it. And so we can, back to Ephesians, you understand that the body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. So in other words, every part has something that they're giving to that body. And it says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So you might give this much and I might give this much, but that's what we need to give to make the body effectual. Because it's to the edifying of the body of itself in love. So volunteers must have the same mission. They should be like-minded. We should adopt the same things. And those same things should be the things in the scriptures. We should have the heartbeat of evangelism and reaching out to the unsaved and to fulfilling the Great Commission. Right? So we're just supposed to go soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. That's all we do in this church. It's just everything's about soul winning, winning souls and winning souls and winning souls. And that's all it is winning souls. No, that's not the entirety of the Great Commission. Now, is that an important first step? Yes, it is. But not only that, we're supposed to teach them too. That's why we have a teaching arm of the church, if you will. We have an evangelistic outreach arm. We have an internal teaching arm, right? That's important. And so we need to make sure that not only do we that, but we teach them. And then we have the fruit-bearing arm. That's where the people have been saved. They've been baptized. They've been added to the church. They've been discipled. And now they're investing in the next generation of Christians coming up in the local church. We should have the same motivation. You've heard me say this before, but I like, instead of the word motivation, I like the word motivation. Okay, I just switched a few of the syllables around. That's okay. Because English is so sketchy, we can just do what we want to in English. So that's okay. Motivation, right? What's your motor? What gets your motor going? And listen, reward is a great motivator, right? How many of you like rewards? Yay, right? Okay. If you have a Capital One card, or you like rewards, right? Gas station points, you like that. You get your rewards and you get your 10 cents off a gallon or whatever. Everybody likes rewards. Okay. Reward is a great motivator, right? Guess what's another great motivator? Fear. Okay? Why don't you speed if you don't speed? Because you're afraid of getting a ticket. Okay? Or you've had so many, you're afraid of going to jail. Okay? Whatever the case may be. I don't know. Hope you don't have any warrants out for your arrest. Okay? But fear is a great motivator, right? But what is the very best motivator? Love. Love. And you know what? Just like Paul said in Ephesians, just like he said in Corinthians, the love of Christ constraineth us. That's what ought to keep our motor going, folks, is the love for Jesus Christ that we have. He's our head. He's our Savior. He's the one why we do the things we do. Why we serve in the nursery. Why we clean the church. Why we go out soul winning. Why we have a bus ministry. Why we cook food for people that are sick or in the hospital. Or, you know, why we carry the offering plate. Or why we sit at the back door and keep everybody safe. And, you know, or why do we do these things? Because we love our Savior. Because we love our Lord. Then we should have the same methods. We should be in one accord, folks. You know what happens when your body decides not to follow what the body should follow? You have a dysfunctional body. Okay? Could you imagine if my foot just decided to do this? You know? That kind of looked kind of funny, wouldn't it? Or, you know? You'd think I was some kind of spaz, right? You would, right? And by medical terms, I probably would be, right? That's odd. That's not normal. But my arm just says, I'm going to do this. You know? Just whatever the case may be. But that's not a good functioning body, right? There's something wrong. I need some medicine or something like that to get things fixed up. So a church that's not of one accord, in one mind, as it should be, that's what people look at. Whoa, what's wrong with those people? You know, this thing's doing this and this thing's doing that and this is just doing whatever it wants to do. And that doesn't make any sense. So we must have a spirit of unity about the process of carrying forth the mission of the local church. The Bible says in Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So who needs to be the head? Who needs to be in control of all of this? Christ does. And so we need to follow Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's what we need to do. And Psalm 100, David says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. And then we need to have the same mentality. We need to be of the mind of Christ, peaceful, sacrificial, responsive, self-denying, humble, obedient, alive in Christ. That's what we need to be. And so as we move ahead in the following weeks, we're going to begin talking about specifically growing in service in the local church. And it all stems from our love and our attachment to Jesus Christ as a member of this body of believers. Don't forget who the head of this body is. It's not me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I just get to be like the director, okay? And I'm directing us as Christ would have us be directed. And so we need to and should belong to a Bible-believing local church that is operating according to God's design. Every church member should volunteer to help and accomplish the work of the church as they are able. Remember what I said to you before. Your best is good enough for God no matter how poor it is, but less than your best is never good enough for God no matter how good it is. See, guess what? If you just say, Pastor, this is all I can do, I'm going to believe you. Because who am I to judge you? It's not my place. But you know what? If you say, hey, you know what? I think I could be doing a little bit more. Then do more. Or you may say, I think I'm doing a little too much. That's okay. Then come tell me so I can help you to grow and help you to be stable. Because guess what? Stability is one of the things that we want to provide for you. I don't want you to be frazzled and at your wit's ends and then just go, poof, and now you've blown a gasket. Well, that's not good. It's not healthy for you and it's not healthy for the local church. But we need to do all that we can do. And sometimes there's maybe a little prodding because a good coach knows that sometimes the players can give a little more. But you understand, I want you to come to that idea, right? Not me force you into that. So, but we should volunteer as we are able. And then a church member should be faithful to attend as many services as you possibly can. Look, I know it might be a little inconvenient sometimes, but Jesus is worth it. Yeah. You know what sleep is? It's overrated. Just sleep, you know. But hey, listen. What do you want to give back to your Savior? I'm going to tell you to come to church every time the doors are open. Because that's what I'm supposed to tell you. But you know what? You ought to come as much as you possibly can. The church is God's place of spiritual blessing for your life. And you need to experience all the blessing that you possibly can. Because that's what God wants for you. And that's what's best for us.